الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد all praise due to Allah and we ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. I guess we got into the habit of reciting a particular surah in Salah and then discussing it in the talk after Salah instead of coming up with things on my own. And the surah which you heard this morning, if you made it on time, that is Surah Al-Ma'arij, which can be translated as the ways of ascent. Ma'arij from Mi'raj, which is the ascension, the going up towards the heavens. And Allah Azza wa Jal is the one Dhul Ma'arij, min Allahi Dhil Ma'arij, meaning the one who owns the ways of ascent. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the angels and the Ruh Jibreel ascend to Allah Azza wa Jal in one day, but that day is equivalent to 50,000 years. Can you imagine? 50,000 years? 50,000 years? That's equivalent to one day. And this is what it takes the angels to ascend to Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet, the surah begins by the kuffar, or one who's mocking, سأل سائل بعذاب الواقع, a question that was asking about a punishment, a torment which is inevitable. للكافرين ليس له دافع. Against the disbelievers, none will be able to avert it. There will be no escape from this punishment which will befall the disbelievers. يعني the punishment of the day of judgment which Allah has prepared for the disbelievers shall come to pass. There will be no escape. So much so that the ulama say that, or according to the narrations of the Prophet ﷺ, that everyone will get his right from everyone, including the animals. So that the ram who had a horn will take his right from the one who didn't have a horn when he knocked him in this dunya. And then after the rights even between the animals are dealt with and everybody gets his right, they will turn into turab. They will turn into dust or dirt. Upon seeing this, the disbeliever would wish he was an animal. As in he would wish that he had the same result, the same end as the animals. وَيَقُولُ الْكَافِرُ يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ تُرَابًا. Then the disbeliever will say, oh, I wish I were dust like them. As in there was nothing that will come afterwards. But that is only a wish. That's what the kafir would wish for. But that's not what Allah will grant. Rather, the punishment is coming. لِلْكَافِرِينَ لَيْسَ لَهُ دَافِعٌ. There's no escape, no one can avert it, no one can stop it, no one can intercede. Their aliha, these false gods which they were worshipping, whether it is the elephant one or the monkey one or the rat one or Jesus or Mary or whoever they worship, or even a dead man in the grave, none of them will be able to stand before Allah and argue on their behalf. Because Allah will not accept the shafa'ah. He will not accept the shafa'ah except to those whom He is pleased with. And Allah is not pleased with the mushrikeen. He is not pleased with the kuffar. So the believer has that access to this shafa'ah, the shafa'ah of the Prophet ﷺ in the life to come. In the life to come, that he will intercede for the disobedient among his ummah. And he will intercede for people to enter Jannah. And he will intercede for some people who are in one degree of Jannah to get to a higher one. This shafa'ah we believe in, and it is thabita, it is affirmed and confirmed to the Prophet ﷺ. The kuffar don't have any privileges like that. They have absolutely no such privileges. And so they will have to deal with the consequences. لِلْكَافِرِينَ لَيْسَ لَهُ دَافِعٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ ذِي الْمَعَارِجِ. Then Allah mentioned that the malaika ascend to him and the ruh and the day which is equivalent to 50,000 years. فَاصْبِرْ صَبْرًا جَمِيلًا. So be patient, a beautiful patience. And the beautiful patience, as the ulama say, is صَبْر لَا شَكْوَ فِيهِ. Meaning when you're patient without any complaining. You can be patient but complain. Like when we fast. We're patient, as in we don't eat and drink, we don't break our fast, but we complain all day. I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I can't take it anymore. This is not sabr jameel. This is sabr but without jameel. Sabr jameel is when you're patient, however you don't complain. فَاصْبِرْ صَبْرًا جَمِيلًا إِنَّهُمْ يَرَوْنَهُ بَعِيدًا وَنَرَاهُ قَرِيبًا. They perceive it, the people think that Yawm al-Qiyamah and the torment and Jahannam and Jannah is far. They perceive it as something far, ba'den, a long time from now. But Allah said, وَنَرَاهُ قَرِيبًا. However, we see it as something that is very near. And whose judgment is better, ours or Allah's? Allah's. That's why when it's all said and done, we will think that we لَبِثْنَا يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْضَ يَوْمٍ, that we only remain on this earth a day or part of a day. When it's all said and done, our whole lifespan will be equivalent to a day, not even a day, part of a day. So it's all near. It's all near. إِنَّهُمْ يَرَوْنَهُ بَعِيدًا وَنَرَاهُ قَرِيبًا. يَوْمَ تَكُونُ السَّمَاءُ كَالْمُهْلِ وَتَكُونُ الْجِبَالُ كَالْعِهْنِ. The skies will be like melted lead. يعني the sky what you see now, فرجع البصر هل ترى من فطور. Return your sight. Do you see any cracks in the heaven? Does it need maintenance? Now you have a ceiling. Doesn't that ceiling wind up leaking? After a lot of rain, you need maintenance, people to paint it every now and then, and so on and so forth. The sama, which is the greatest ceiling you can think of, does not require any maintenance, nor does it have any problems. No cracks in it, no problems, nothing. But on Yawm al-Qiyamah, it will be like lead, they will melt. Like in Surah Al-Rahman, كالورد, وتكون السماء, what is the ayah? Surah Rahman, كالوردت, وردتن قديهان. وردتن قديهان. Wardah is like a rose. So the description of the sky which you see now will actually crack open, and it will be, the edges will be like it's melting lead. And of course the malaika will ascend, as the descriptions are found in the tafsir and the hadith. The malaika will ascend in rows, and they will be all presented, and no one will speak. No one will speak. Not Jibreel, no one else. Illa man adina lahu ar-Rahman wa qala sawaba. Except one whom the Most Merciful grants permission, and he must say something which is correct. What happens on that day? وَتَكُونُ الْجِبَالُ كَالْعِهْنِ, and the mountains will be like wool. It will be like wool. The mountains which are strong now, wool, you blow at it, it will fly in the air. So these strong mountains will be crushed. وَتَكُونُ الْجِبَالُ كَالْعِهْنِ وَلَا يَسْأَلُ حَمِيمٌ حَمِيمًا. And a close friend will not even bother to ask about his other close friend. يعني now think of the one who's closest to you. Think of the one who's closest to you. If you were both, if you went out to the jungle together, and you fell asleep together, and you woke up and you didn't see him, what's the first thing that will come to mind? Where's my friend? Where is he? And you will look for him. You won't just sit there and act like nothing happened. In fact, you will remain looking for him until you find him. On Yawm al-Qiyamah, your closest friend will be the last thing on your mind. You won't even ask about him, you won't even bother, where's Fulan, is he okay, what is his condition? Everyone will be saying, nafsi, nafsi, myself, myself. Everyone would want himself to be protected. On a side note, anyone who takes a picture of me, please delete it. Okay, I don't favor photography. If you take videos so you can hear this again and benefit, be my guest. But taking a picture of me standing is not going to get you closer to Allah. Because even if you look at the picture, you won't hear me speaking. So you really don't need it. Plus you may get a virus on your phone and the phone will never work again. Trust me on this one. So you won't even ask about your close friend. How bad does it get? يود المجرم لو يفتدي من عذاب يومئذ ببنيه. The criminal will wish on that day that he could ransom himself from the hellfire with his own children. Subhanallah. Nowadays, The average parent is willing to take the pain on behalf of the child. If a doctor told this father, shall we keep your son blind, or are you willing to give up one eye and give it to your son? He will give up one eye. The average father or mother, they will take a bullet for their children, as they say. If they were told, do you want the car to run you over or run your child over? He would tell you, let the car run me over, but don't touch my child. This is now. On Yawm al-Qiyamah, he will present his children. Burn them in the fire, but let me go. This is my fidya. This is my ransom. Take them, but let me escape. You see how bad it is? This is how bad it is. Your own children, whom you love dearly, you would be willing to put them forth so they can take the punishment on your behalf and you can run away. يَفْتَدِي مِنْ فِدْيَةٍ مِنْ عَذَابِ يَوْمِيذٍ بِبَنِيهِ. Not only that, وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَأَخِي, his wife and his brother. No one. وَفَصِلَتِهِ لَتَتُوِي, his whole tribe. يعني someone who lives in this community, if he can on Yawm al-Qiyamah say, all of you go to Jahannam so I can be saved, he is willing to put you all as a ransom so he can escape. This is how bad it is. But Allah said, Kalla, no. This is not how it works. You cannot give people in ransom to protect yourself. Everyone will be held to account for his own deeds. And you can't have people punish on your behalf to escape. Rather, what you need to be mindful of is not how you're going to use people to ransom yourself. Rather, remember, إِنَّهَا لَظَى, that this hellfire, it's a burning, blazing hellfire. نَزَّاعَةً لِلشَّوَى, it will peel the skin of your head. It is so hot that it will peel off the skin of your head. نَزَّاعَةً لِشَوَى. Who is it for? تَدْعُوا مَنْ أَدْبَرَ وَتَوَلَّى. It will be inviting to enter it the one who turned away and he moved away. Whoever turned away from the Qur'an and the Sunnah and did not act upon them, he put them on the ignore list. They were not a priority in his life. These are the people that will be called by Jahannam on that day. مَنْ أَدْبَرَ وَتَوَلَّى. أَدْبَرَ, turned around, gave him his back, his dubur. وَتَوَلَّى, and he moved away. وَجَمَعَ فَأَوْعَى, and he collected money so that he will have a lot of it. As in, he had money which he did not spend in the way of Allah. He was only keeping the money just for his worldly pleasures. He wasn't spending it in a manner which is pleasing to Allah. نَزَّاعَةً لِلشَّوَى, تَدْعُو مَنْ أَدْبَرَ وَتَوَلَّى وَجَمَعَ فَأَوْعَى, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلِقَ هَلُوعًا. The son of Adam was created very impatient, easily irritated. إِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ جَزُوعًا, if evil touches him, he panics. He overreacts. If any calamity befalls us, we despair from the mercy of Allah. If a calamity befalls us because of our sins, the average human being will despair from the mercy of Allah. But it is haram. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. You may never despair from the mercy of Allah. إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا. Allah forgives all of the sins. So we cannot reach a point of despair. It's not from the qualities of the believer. No matter how bad you were, or no matter how bad you are, if you return to Allah, Allah يُبَدِّلُ سَيِّئَاتَكَ حَسَنَاتٍ, Allah will replace your evil deeds with good ones. And He will accept your repentance. And He will be happy with it. And He will guide you to the way. So what are we waiting for? When it's too late, when the angel of death comes, حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتِ قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ لعلي أعمل صالحا فيما تركت كلا. Until when death comes to one of them, he will say, oh Allah, my Lord, allow me to return. Perhaps I can fix what I left behind. I can do good deeds. It will be said to him also, no. إنها كلمة هو قائلها. It is nothing but a word he will say. It's a wish he will have. إذا وإذا مسه الخير منوعا. And if he is if he's gifted or blessed with wealth, he's niggardly. He's miserly. He doesn't spend in the way of Allah. Now this is the general condition of the children of Adam. But does that include everyone? No. There is a group of people whom Allah Azza wa Jal made exempt from this quality. There are some people who do not or cannot be categorized under إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلِقَ هَلُوعًا إِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ جَزُوعًا وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا. Who are they? إِلَّا الْمُصَلِّينَ. Allahu Akbar. Except those who pray. Those who are mindful of their prayer. To what extent? الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَى صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ. They are always and forever consistent and safeguarding their salah. Meaning, they don't pray Fajr in Jama'ah once a week, or twice a week, or three times a week, or four times a week, or five times a week, or six times a week. No, they pray every day. Maybe once a year, because of some outrageous calamity, they miss Salah. Because of some real valid reason, or some major sin which they committed, due to which Allah will punish them by not allowing them to pray in Jama'ah. Because if you don't make it to Jama'ah, know that Allah is trying to give you some signals. Know that Allah is sending some hints for you that something is not right. It is not right that you sleep through Salah. It is not. And it is not right that you pray in Jama'ah occasionally. It is not right. And it is not right that you miss some Salawat or you combine them at the end of the day. It's not right. Because the ones whom Allah made exempt, He said about them, الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَى صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ. They always and forever safeguard their Salah. وَالَّذِينَ فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ مَعْلُومٌ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ. And those who have a designated portion of their wealth to the questioner and the one who doesn't have, the one who's been deprived. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ وَالَّذِينَ يُصَدِّقُونَ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ. And those who truly, sincerely believe in the day of recompense. They're not doubtful concerning it. They have yaqeen. Yaqeen that they will be held to account, that there's accountability, there's recompense, and there's Jannah or Jahannam. They have firm belief. يصدقون. Yet, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مِنْ عَذَابِ رَبِّهِمْ مُشْفِقُونَ. Because of that belief, they are in a state of awe because of the fear of their Lord. They are always worried and concerned that Allah's punishment may afflict them. They're not living life where everything is nice and happy and dandy. No, there's an element of fear. They have hope in Allah and they have fear of Allah. They love Allah and they are afraid of Allah's punishment. The ulama say, each one of us is like a bird. And for you to be able to fly, you must have two balanced wings. Those wings are the wing of love and the wing of fear. If you use one of them more than the other, you won't be able to fly. Meaning you won't make it to your destination. Because some people have too much love, or they think it's love, so they count on Allah Ghafoor Rahim. Anytime Allah Ghafoor Rahim. Every time he disobeys Allah, Allah Ghafoor Rahim. That's not good. And that's not really believing that Allah Ghafoor Rahim. Ibn Qayyim said he's a liar. The one who says this is a liar. Had he really loved Allah, he would have feared Him and avoided his disobedience. And then fear of Allah, so that you never reach a point where you say, I'm never going to go to Jannah. I've been so bad, or I am so bad. That is also not acceptable. You need to have a balanced approach in the way you fly and you travel to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those who are afraid of the punishment of their Lord, إِنَّ عَذَابَ رَبِّهِمْ غَيْرُ مَمُونَ. Why? Because there's no guarantee against it. There is no guarantee against the punishment of Allah. Meaning, don't feel safe. The ulama say, if you feel safe now, you will not be safe then. And if you are worried now, you will be safe then. This is how it works. It's like someone who's overconfident. They have exams and they think they're very, very intelligent. And everybody's studying for the exam and preparing, and they say, no need. Now I know I will do, I'll get a full grade. Overconfident. When the time of exam comes, all of a sudden the information goes away. And now they don't know how to give a single answer. And they're not safe. They will fail. While the one who was worried and studying and he kept it on his mind the whole time, he will be granted success. إِنَّ عَذَابَ رَبِّهِمْ غَيْرُ مَأْمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ And those who guard their private parts, except upon their spouses and what their right hand possess. Whosoever transgresses beyond that, whoever goes beyond that, then these are the transgressors. And what is understood from this, yeah, brothers in Islam, is that having a girlfriend is haram and masturbation is haram. Because Allah is saying that these individuals, they protect their private parts. They don't expose them. Whether they are on their own or in front of people. In front of a girlfriend, then definitely disqualified. And on one's own is also disqualified. They safeguard their private parts from anything which is haram. Either you are married or the Muslims, mashallah, are engaging in jihad and we overcome a nation, we take their women folks as our slave girls, and then you can have mulkul yameen. But we don't have that today. Because we're not defeating anyone. Until we go back to our religion, we will not be defeating anyone on a large scale. So these people avoid these sins. Masturbation is not allowed in Islam, it's haram. You say, but brother, there's a lot of pressure and outside and all these women. Yes, we understand. But you will have a wet dream on your own if you wait it out. That doesn't allow you to violate. What you should do is get married. Your parents don't let you, explain to them the condition which you're in. Beg Allah to facilitate that. It happens. We know of people whose parents were not for the marriage, and then Allah changed their heart and suddenly they were for the marriage. You need to make some effort. You need to make some effort. Don't just say, my parents don't let me. Well, present your case and become a lawyer on your own behalf and try to fight for this right of yours, because you have the right to get married. That is the solution. Otherwise, fast. فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِالصَّوْمِ The Prophet ﷺ said, يَا مَعْشَرَ الشَّبَابِ مَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ مِنْكُمُ الْبَاءَةَ فَلْيَتَزَوَّجْ Whosoever amongst you can afford it, let him get married. If he can, then let him fast, because it will be a shield. It will be a means of protection. So this is the quality of these people. أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ غَيْرُ مَلُومِينَ فَمَنْ ابْتَغَى وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ Those who concerning the things which they are entrusted with and their covenants, they maintain them. Yeah, and when he promises you something, he fulfills it. He just doesn't tell you things just to shut you up. Because people usually say things just to shut you up. So you have no problem, okay. He knows that he will not do it. And he knows that he's just saying things just to get rid of you. But this is not the qualities of these believers. When he gives you his word, unless something that is beyond him prevents him, he will fulfill his word. You entrust him with something, he will not lose it. You give him a covenant or he gives you a covenant, he will fulfill it. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِشَهَدَاتِهِمْ قَائِمُونَ Then وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ Now notice, the first quality was what? Salah. إِلَّا الْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ Then Allah mentioned qualities, and ended with what? Those who safeguard their salah. Which shows you that the most important thing in your life after tawheed is your salah. And that everything in between is dependent on salah. This is why the Prophet ﷺ said, the first thing that the son of Adam will be held to account to is his salah. فإن صلحت صلح سائر عمله وإن فسدت فسد سائر عمله. If your salah is good, the rest of your deeds will be good. If your salah is bad, the rest of your deeds will be bad. And now the Quran is telling you, begin with salah, end with salah. If your salah is bad in the beginning, at the end, everything which comes in between is of no value. That's why if one of us wants to know, if you want to know where is your relationship with Allah, where do you stand? Don't be going to a doctor or a psychic or a fortune teller. See, where do you stand in salah? How is your salah? How consistent you are in praying? When do you pray? Where do you pray? How do you pray? Where is your heart when you're praying? If you can give positive answers for all of these questions, congratulations. You have passed the test of the dunya now. If you have some problems in these answers, which we do, then we need to fix it before it's too late. Because the hadith says, if this salah is no good, forget about everything else. That is the importance of the salah. What is the end result for these people? أُولَٰئِكَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ مُكْرَمُونَ. Those noble, elite, high status VIP people, these are the VIP. Not the ones in the bar, not the biggest drunkard with the most money and the fanciest car, that is VIP. In the deen of Allah, these are the VIP. If you want very important person or people, then see how he adheres to Islam. If he adheres closely to Islam, that's a VIP. If he's not, he's a low life. Even if the people try to make him otherwise. أُولَٰئِكَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ مُكْرَمُونَ. They will be in gardens, مُكْرَمُونَ, from إِكْرَام. Ikram is hospitality, generosity, being honored. They will be honored in Jannah. Then Allah speaks about the kuffar and how they wish to enter Jannah while they have not done what they deserve it. They want to, أَيَطْمَعُ كُلُّ مْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ أَن يُدْخَلَ جَنَّةً عِنْدَ. Does he have a hope that he will be permitted to a Jannah of delight? Kalla, again, you notice how many times Allah said kalla. Kalla innaha lada. Kalla innaha lada. And now saying kalla. Inna khalaqnahum mimma ya'lamun. This ayah is amazing. Allah said, verily, we have created them from that which they know. What is that? What is it? What is it? What is Allah speaking about? Nay, we have created them from that which they know. What is it? Semen. Semen. Sperm. Allah is showing us how insignificant it is to the point that He doesn't mention it. Yani, it's so bad, it's so lowly that Allah said, we created you, you know from what? I don't have to tell you that you came from a sperm. Even though Allah said it in other occasions. In this one, He's trying to belittle them so much that He says, we created you, you know from what? That's like someone who's been a criminal all his life, and he was in prison all his life, and then he came out. And he tries to act like he is, you know, Mr. All That. You say, look man, you know where you came from. I don't have to tell you that you're from the prison and that you're a criminal. You know where you came from. That's even more belittling than mentioning prison. Meaning, hush, be quiet. You know where you came from. And Allah said to the kuffar, "Kalla inna khalaqnahum mimma ya'lamun." They know what they were created from. You're from a sperm. أَوَلَمْ يَرَ الْإِنسَانُ أَنَّا خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ. Does the son of Adam not see that we created it from a sperm? All of a sudden he wants to argue and debate with Allah. No, this one I cannot do, and this one is too much for me, and this one is not for me. Debating with Allah, playing games with the deen. Part-time Islam. Sometimes we believe, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we practice, sometimes we don't. In Ramadan we practice, when Ramadan is gone, we don't. That mentality of the sick-minded people who don't really know Allah Azza wa Jal become argumentative. They want to argue with Allah and dispute with His ayat and in ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then Allah swore, فَوَرَبِّ السَّمَاوَاتِ فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِرَبِّ الْمَشَارِقِ وَالْمَغَارِبِ إِنَّا لَقَادِرُونَ. Allah reminded them, and He swore by the Lord of the Wests and the East, which is Himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He swore by Himself, He's able to create something which is better than them. He's able to bring them back. وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمَسْبُوقِينَ فَذَرْهُمْ يَخُوضُوا وَيَلْعَبُوا حَتَّى يُلَاقُوا يَوْمَهُمُ الَّذِي يُعَدُونَ. So let them. يَخُوضُوا to debate and go back and forth and argue and waste their time. وَيَلْعَبُوا, let them play. Let them play and enjoy themselves until they meet the day which they have been promised. And this is the condition of the kuffar. You go around, they're busy with the cricket match, and this team defeating that team, and their whole life, soccer players, their whole life is around a soccer ball. And the cricket is around a bat and a ball. And all these kuffar, their whole life is la'ib. Lahun wa la'ib. Entertainment and play. Entertainment and play. And some Muslims live the same way. There's no difference between them. His life is also entertainment and play. Except in some occasions. But Allah said, leave them. If that's what they want, leave them. But they will not be able to escape for long. They will be brought to account for that. So then, Allah Azza wa Jal ends this ayah by threatening the kuffar against the day which they were promised. And we are included in this threat. We have to make equal, if not greater, preparation for the last day. The day which we have all been promised. So my brothers in Islam, do not let this life deceive you. This life is deceptive. Easily, people are easily deceived by the dunya, but not the believer. Don't be deceived by the beauty of this worldly life. It will not last. The only thing that which will last, وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتُ خَيْرٌ عَنْدَ رَبِّكَ ثَوَابًا وَخَيْرٌ أَمَلًا. The righteous deeds which are everlasting are better with your Lord in respect to ajr, in respect to reward, and in respect to hope. The best thing that you can take with you to meet Allah is iman and righteous deeds. Not money, not anything else. So while you live life, and you can't run away from life, we're not telling you become, you know, a deviant Sufi and go live on the mountain and say, I'm going to be an ascetic, you know. Zuhd, zuhd. So he abandons the dunya and he abandons family and he doesn't get married and he doesn't really live. He embarrasses himself and humiliates himself. This is not from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He married women. He loved children. He used to kiss his children. He loved particular kind of food. He loved his wife alayhi salatu wasalam. He loved his wives. He loved the sahaba. He had, وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Don't forget the portion Allah has made for you of the dunya. But نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. In our case, لَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الْآخِرَةِ. Don't forget what is waiting for you in the life to come. Because we shifted all of our attention to the dunya, and hardly do we think about the life to come. It should be the other way around. Prepare for the life to come. Enjoy the dunya according to the limitations which Allah Azza wa Jal has given us. Alhamdulillah, we have plenty of halal. Plenty of halal to enjoy. So we leave alone the haram. We leave alone the haram. We are satisfied and convinced with the halal which Allah gave us. We live a life of someone who's preparing to meet Allah. And it's not going to be many years. I don't know how long one of us is going to live. 30 years, 40 years. Yeah, Sheikh, 50, 60. What are these years? Right now, any one of you. Let's say you're 40 years old. Let's say you're 40 years old. Your whole life you can narrate it in 10 minutes. What do you remember from the last year? 3-4 incidents. I went to this place and I said, your whole life right now is nothing but a few thoughts. That's it. You don't recollect every single event in your life. Because this is the duration of the lifespan of the son of Adam. So even if you live 60-70 years, it's still a very short time before you make it to the life of Al-Akhirah, the life of eternity. So don't favor this short transitory life and miss out on the last thing, eternal life. This is equal to me saying to you, look, do you want me to give you 1 rupee now? Or if you wait 1 week, I will give you 10 billion rupees. Which one would you choose? Would you wait 1 week? If you're hasty and I give you 1 rupee, what are you going to do with it? Nothing. Nothing. Wait 1 week, get a lot. So this is the life. This is our worldly life. You can enjoy now, which is equivalent to 1 rupee, less than that. But then afterwards, khalas, don't ask for anything. Don't come after 1 week, say, you gave me rupee last week, can I get the 10 billion you promised me? No, because then I gave you a choice. If you want the rupee, don't ask for anything afterwards. So you won't be able to get the life to come. Or you're patient, and then you will get a big salary and a big payment at the last day. So let us prioritize our lives in the same fashion. I ask Allah to make that easy for us. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد. Now we can take I guess 5 minutes for questions, and then I guess that will be the last, and I will see you inshallah in this visit, at least if Allah facilitates another one. Yes, your book of deeds will include the sins which were not forgiven. Whatever Allah forgave and accepted your repentance concerning, gone, deleted. Whoever used to be neglectful of salah, if he repents to Allah from being neglectful and he no longer neglects the salah, even that would be erased. This is a principle in Islam. No matter what you used to do, once you stop and you start doing good, the past is erased. If you do tawbah, Allah will erase your past. No matter what, fornication, alcohol, drugs, smoking, you name it. Once you repent to Allah and you stop doing it, Allah, and even if you fall back to it because of some reason, when you repented sincerely, still Allah will forgive all the past. Then you will be only responsible from the time you repented the first time to the second time you committed that sin. You will not be responsible for all the past ones. Because the sincere repentance, it wipes out whatever precedes it. Completely. Now. Yes, sir. Raise your voice, Habibi. Can't hear you. Many, I can't hear you. Hey, with the non-Muslims, we give salams to non-Muslims? No. No, the Prophet said, لا تبدأ اليهود والنصارى بالسلام. Do not initiate the Jews and the Christians, in other words, the kuffar, because these were the kuffar present then, with salam. You may not give salam to a kafir, because salam is dua. As-salamu alaykum, may the peace of Allah be upon you, wa rahmatu and His mercy, wa barakatuh and His blessings. All this for a kafir? The mercy of Allah and His mercy and His blessings for a kafir? Never. No, if he gives you salam, you say wa alaykum, that's it. If a Hindu says to you salamu alaykum, you say wa alaykum, end of story. You don't say wa alaykum as-salam. You do not say wa alaykum as-salam. Only wa alaykum and upon you. But you'd never initiate the salam. Now that is salam. But if you say good morning, how are you? That's fine. Because this is not the salam, the greeting of Islam. That is a worldly greeting. It doesn't make a difference. Now. Before salah? Before adhan?
Yeah.
You begin by salah?
No, before Adhan, he's saying, is there any practice of saying the
bid'ah? If you attended the workshop, you know that this is a bid'ah. No, you don't say anything before the Adhan. Yeah, these are from the practices of the people. Like in some other countries, after the adhan, while still on the microphone, they give a long, you know, durood. All this is baseless in Islam. It's nothing, there's no such thing. No.
Usually, our place is common.
Well, it has to become uncommon. You know, just if it's bid'ah, you have to leave it alone. The people doing it is not going to make it halal ever. It will always remain a bid'ah. Yes, akhi. You may. If someone is not near the masjid, as in he cannot hear the adhan, he has the concession to pray at home. Meaning he's not sinful for praying at home. But he is encouraged. He is encouraged to make the effort and go to the masjid. I know of brothers who live in non-Muslim countries who drive 45 minutes for salah. The masjid, the closest masjid is 45 minutes. And for every salah, he gets in his car and he does 45 minutes, sometimes only to find the masjid closed. He prays outside with the door locked and he goes back home. There are people like that. Now, we're not telling you do that, but alhamdulillah, you have all kinds of means of transportation. It seems that 80% of Indians have a motorcycle. And it's very practical for you to get on that bike, pray in the masjid and go back home. As a recommendation. As a recommendation for getting extra reward. But if someone prays at home because they can't hear the adhan because the masjid is too far, absolutely okay. Now.
My dear brother, there's a lot of assalamu alaikum. Like, one is like, assalamu alaikum. Means, like...
Poison.
Poison. Then one is... Assalamu
alaikum, then assaikum. So it
sounds
like assalamu alaikum,
but it's assalamu alaikum. The five kind of things is like one word, give you death, one word, like, giving salam to the shaitan. That is, salam. When you say salam, it's like giving salam to the shaitan.
No, that's incorrect.
Yes, but. Assalamu alaikum, that is, you have death. Assalamu alaikum means
assalamu. Look, Habibi, this seems like an inauthentic text message, okay? What we have is that the Yahud came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, Assalamu alaikum. May poison be upon you. And so Aisha heard them and she cursed them out. And he said, Mahya Aisha, take it easy, Aisha. Allah does not love this kind of foul speech. They said, Assalamu alaikum, said, Wa alaikum, and may be it upon you as well. So because of that, I told the brother, that's why the ulama say, from based on this hadith, when a non-Muslim says, Assalamu alaikum, he may be saying, Assalam, he may be saying, Assam, something else. When you say, Wa alaikum, you say, and on you.
Yeah. Is it accepted by Allah Ta'ala when we do some instances, for example, some of the Muslim person can come and tell us, Assalamu alaikum, Assalam.
Hey, well, if someone says that and you don't hear him, Allah will not hold you accountable for a Muslim telling you Assalamu alaikum.
No, no. Is it like Allah says, okay, Ameen, or is it like you say Ameen for this?
Ameen?
If
we don't say Ameen. Allah doesn't say Ameen.
Angels.
Allahu A'lam. But don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. If someone says, any non-Muslim says Assalamu alaikum.
Or a Muslim.
No, no, no. If a Muslim says, Salaam alaikum, wa alaikum as-salam, no issues. You don't have to sit there and say, what did you say? Did you say, Salaam alaikum? A Muslim is not going to come make dua against you. I mean, this never happens. Unless he's crazy. And I don't think this is the case. A non-Muslim, however, Allah knows what he's saying. Whatever he's saying, whether he says, Assalam or as-salam, you just say, wa alaikum. If it's good, then it's good. If it's bad, then it's bad. But this idea that saying salam on its own is for the shaitan is incorrect. Because the angel said to Ibrahim, salam, qala salam. They said to him, salam, he said to them, salam. So in the Quran we have the angels and Ibrahim using the term salam only. So this is not correct to say that this is for the shaitan. This is probably some human's fabrication. No. Yes? When praying Taraweeh, can you? Who, as an imam or as a ma'moom? Imam, yes. Because Aisha radiallahu anha had Ridwan, her slave boy, lead them in salah, and he was reading from the Mus'haf in Taraweeh. So we have an evidence from the Sahabiya who established there during that time, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that's why the ulama say the imam may lead the people in salah while reciting from the Mus'haf. It's better that he doesn't, if he can, unless he's reciting some surah which he doesn't have memorized well, or he doesn't have memorized period. As for the ma'moom, no. Ma'moom, never are you allowed to hold the Quran behind the imam as some people do. Because your job right now when he's reciting is istima' wa insat, la'allakum turhamun. Listen attentively. Don't be busying yourself with opening and putting it. No, it's a long process. Plus you can't put your right hand on your left hand. It prevents you from many sunan. So the ulama say you don't pray behind one. And you don't read from the Quran when you pray on your own either. If you're the imam of others, we have an evidence. If you're praying behind someone or you're praying by yourself, we don't have an evidence that you can hold the Quran and read from it. So the ulama say, read from your memory. You say, I only have Juz'u Amma memorized, say, memorize more. And then pray using what you've memorized. But don't hold the Quran. Huh? Innocently doing shirk? How is that? Innocently, there's no innocence in shirk. Inna shirka la zulmun azim. Allah put in the fitrah, you know what shirk is. Everybody knows what shirk is. No one can go and, you know, worship a grave and say that I don't know that this is shirk. How could that be? How do you know? What do you know about Islam? If you don't know that this is shirk, then what do you know about Islam? Nothing. You're not a Muslim. Islam is deenu tawheed, the religion of the oneness of Allah. Every day you say, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. What is left? They don't understand because they don't want to understand. They don't want to understand. Just like the kuffar of Quraysh. They knew, akhi, they knew what the da'wah was. And they acted like they don't understand. Because they don't want to understand. And when they don't want to understand, Allah will not make them understand. Otherwise, if there was goodness in them, wallah, he wouldn't be calling on a dead man. He would not. No, but these people are no good. No good. Had they been good, Allah would have saved them. Allah would have saved them from this shirk, and He would have brought them to Tawheed, because it doesn't take a genius to figure out that Allah, the Creator, is the one who you ask for help from, not someone who you buried yourself and you had to do ghusl for, and no kafan, and He was waiting for you to bury Him. Now you want Him to help you? Only feeble-minded person will think this way. Last question.
In the Quran, is there any wadi? If it's there, can we call it that the Quran is incomplete?
No. That's not how you say it. That's wrong usage of words. There is another wahi, the sunnah. The Quran and the sunnah are wahi which complete one another. When one of them is taken out, it doesn't mean that the other one is incomplete in the sense that the Quran is incomplete. It's incomplete as in the shari'ah, the legislation of Islam is incomplete, because you cannot say, I'm only going to follow the Quran and ignore the sunnah. If someone says, I'm only going to follow the Quran, ignore the sunnah, ask him, how do you pray dhuhr? How? Where in the Quran does it pray? You begin with takbirat al-ihram, then you recite the fatiha, then surah, then ruku'. He will never be able to get it. So it's incomplete. Your Islam is incomplete without the sunnah. But the Quran is complete. It's the whole thing which Allah revealed. So you just have to rearrange the words, then the meaning is correct. Tayyib. It's a little late, and we have to travel today, inshallah. I guess I'll take the chance to do two things. Number one, try to join us in Masjid Salsabil in what? Ulal? Ulal. For khutbah, the khutbah in English. And I'm warning you from now, ice cream. Okay? Not ice cream. Don't think I'm going to give you ice cream over there. We're fasting. But ice cream. And that is the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. That when he would give khutbah, the sermon, when he would deliver the khutbah, his eyes would become red, and his voice would become loud, and he would become angry, like he's a general in the army, warning his soldiers. There's no soft speech on the minbar. No soft speech. And secondly, if you don't get the chance to make it to the khutbah, then allow me to take a few minutes to thank you for the wonderful time which we Allah has blessed us to spend with each other. I'm not a very good at farewells and things of this sort, for whatever reason, even though sometimes I manage to speak, but when it comes to these things I run out of words. But Jazakum Allahu Khairan, all of you, beginning with Brother Muhammad Nawaz and A'zam, and each and every one of you whom we got to meet and spend time with, eat with, everyone who invited me and suffered at watching me not eat most of the food which they cooked. And even though Naif did the job on my behalf, still, it wasn't happy for those who invited me. I apologize for anyone whom I may have offended or hurt or ignored, whether intentionally or unintentionally. It was wonderful times, and ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make them blessed and to make us all benefit from that which we heard, and help us act upon it and remain steadfast upon it until we reunite in Jannah. It was an honor to be amongst you here, brothers in Mangalore. And you've been very hospitable, very generous, very courteous, very kind, very sweet, and all the good adjectives which you have learned in English, just apply them to the community, inshallah. Hopefully, if Allah gives us all a long, healthy life, we will be able to do this on consistent basis. How consistent, Allah knows. But it will not be the last time. Hopefully, we'll see each other. And if it is, hey, that's life. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum.